tonight I am going to do the third part of that, and this should be the last time you'll hear me talk about Daniel for a while, at least as the main topic. And I know I'm known for making very large foundations, and I kind of get in a little deep, and then hopefully I make a point at the end. I'm going to probably do that again tonight. I'm not going to lie. But I hope at the end I can make a point, can bring something to show us. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to teach something tonight that I have never heard anyone teach. I have never heard anyone mention this. I found it not long ago, maybe 3 or 4 months ago. And I just think it's kind of fascinating, and it kind of gets breezed by. And really, when we look at the life of Daniel, this helps us to understand maybe a little bit more or bring some insight into his life. Because believe it or not, Daniel's a whole lot more like Joseph than we might realize. And I've never heard it brought out. And so hopefully I can show us. And I can actually, I think I can prove it through scriptures and through history and all of that. And I'll just hope to dig in here and we'll just see what happens, all right? So if you will turn with me, I hope I'll get done. To Daniel chapter 12 and verse 9. And he said, "Go thy way, Daniel." Now I want you to catch that, because you'll understand why I'm putting emphasis on this here in just a minute. "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." The angel calls him Daniel. All right? Don't worry, you're probably not, it's not registering yet, because you don't have my notes in front of you. Here in a minute, it will make sense. The angel refers to him as Daniel. Jesus, God, I ask for your help one more time tonight. Lord, I pray that what I have to say would be not just a cute sermon. And God, I pray that what I have here tonight, Lord, would help us. God, would help us in our relationship with you and our walk with you. God, that God, I ask, Lord, that you would help me, Lord, as I preach, as I teach, as I talk here tonight, Lord, help me to say something to encourage us, to strengthen us, and even to challenge us. And Lord, I ask for your anointing. I need it. I can't go without it. Lord, I need your touch every time I speak. And so, God, I ask one more time, Lord, that you'll help me, Lord, to say what you want me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Lessons from Daniel. Have you ever thought about this? Now, maybe you have, maybe you haven't. How many have heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Okay, everyone's heard of them, right? Have you ever thought about this? We know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego by their Babylonian names. We know Daniel by his Hebrew name. Anyone ever thought about that? We know Daniel by his Hebrew name. We know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego by their Babylonian name. Why don't we know Daniel as Belteshazzar? Why don't we call him Belteshazzar? We call him Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Why don't we call Daniel Belteshazzar? Now, I want to show you this because I think it's rather fascinating into who Daniel really was. Because the name Belteshazzar means "may Bel protect his life. Okay, that was one of the foreign gods. May Bel protect his life. That's what Belteshazzar means. The name Daniel means God is my judge. So on one side, he is called when he goes into captivity, he is called Bel is my protector. But he knows from his Hebrew side, his name is Daniel. My God is my judge. So here we find a young man who is in captivity. He is placed in high authority. He's given rights of a prince. Right? We know the story of Daniel. I've talked about it already. He is placed in a very good position. He's placed in a high position. Yet every time, I looked this up. I found this fascinating. Every time he is called Belteshazzar, he makes sure we know what his name really is. You read it. Every time, we're going to read them. Every time you read the name Belteshazzar, you see that he makes sure we understand that my name is Daniel. You may call me, your God is my protector. You may call me a false God is my protector. But I want everybody to know God is my judge. I looked this up. I looked up the name Belteshazzar. And every single time you see the word Belteshazzar, either right before it or right after it, you find him referred to as his name Daniel. Watch this, Daniel 1 verse 7. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, unto Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Now we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But here we see that Daniel is named Belteshazzar. Now watch. Watch Daniel 2 verse 26. And the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? He makes sure we understand what his name is. Watch Daniel 4 verse 8. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I knoweth that the holy spirit of the gods is in thee, and had no secret trouble at thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Daniel 4:18. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the holy interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Watch verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. And the king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. Understand what's taking place. Daniel, when he goes into captivity, is given the name Belteshazzar. But Daniel wants to make sure nobody remembers him as Belteshazzar, and that everybody remembers him as Daniel. The reason we call him Daniel is because he made sure that every time he calls himself Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. Let's keep going. I'm going to get into something. I think this is kind of cool. Daniel 5 verse 12. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, and showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of thoughts, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel, you've got to grab, see, I don't think he grabbed it. This is so cool.
Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Belshazzar, who was the next, who was a king in Babylonia, does not refer to him by his Babylonian name. Belshazzar says, now let Daniel be called. Did you get that? Now let Daniel be called. He didn't refer to him. Nebuchadnezzar named him Belteshazzar. Belshazzar, who was his great-great-great-great-great grandson, calls him Daniel.
I'll get it. We'll get there. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. I think it's cool. Now, I want to pause for a moment. I want to give us a little history lesson, because so often we read these passages, and if you read the book of Daniel, it is very easy to look at the book of Daniel, and you will find, and you will see, and you'll think, well, Nebuchadnezzar was the father and Belshazzar was his son, because that's sort of the way it follows in Scripture. And you also see that it is referred to as Belshazzar. He refers to Nebuchadnezzar as my father. And so everybody quickly puts an assumption and quickly puts into line that Belshazzar was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, if you understand and you read it, I want to show you something. Steve, I don't have this in my notes, but if you will pull up the last verse of chapter 4. Chapter 5, verse 1 is the verse I'm going to eventually get to, but go to the last verse of chapter 4, and I want to show you something. Because you know how when they pass along from kingdom to kingdom, there's usually a nice pass along that says this one died and this one came. Here we see sort of a breakup. Watch this. Now, this is right after, how many remember the story of Nebuchadnezzar where he turned into some kind of crazy wild animal, right? He walked along the ground. Anyone know that story? He walked around along the ground. He had feathers on him. He had claws. He was out of his mind. He was crazy, and he went crazy, and then he realized that God really is in control. Okay, this is really the last part we hear Nebuchadnezzar. Now, watch this. It says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven and all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in him in the pride he is able to abase. So Nebuchadnezzar comes to his senses, right? That closes Daniel 4, verse 37. Now go to chapter 5, verse 1, Steve. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to the thousand of his lords and drank wine before the tenth. Notice there's not a clean transition. I want you to notice the transition there. From every assumption, from every look at the end of chapter 4, verse 37, there ain't nothing wrong with Nebuchadnezzar. But all of a sudden, when you start in chapter 5, there's a new king. There is a gap, and I've never heard this taught, but I saw this about this. I thought it was so fascinating. There is a gap between Daniel 4, verse 37, and Daniel 5, verse 1. Because what Daniel is dealing with, Daniel is not working with Babylonian history. Daniel is only working with Jewish history and what it involves him and his dealings with the kings that he was involved with. I'm going to prove this to you. And so he deals with Nebuchadnezzar, and the last bit of Nebuchadnezzar was 437, and he deals with Belshazzar in chapter 5. Now watch. Nebuchadnezzar ruled from 634 BC to 562 BC. Now, it really doesn't mean a whole lot, but it will in a minute. Daniel was only there during the captivity. Daniel went into captivity for, I don't want to get into the numbers, but he went into captivity. So Daniel was in captivity with Nebuchadnezzar. All right? Now, most people want to refer to as Belshazzar as the son of Nebuchadnezzar because the way it transitions from 437 to 5:1. Okay? That's pretty much the way I've seen it. And I think it's 5:2 that he refers. Go to verse 2. I got a bunch of notes, and I've got things running through my brain. That's a dangerous combination. Very dangerous.
Yes. Watch verse 2. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels from which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink of them. He took of those things that Nebuchadnezzar, even though he took them from the temple, Nebuchadnezzar said, I won't touch them. Those are sacred things. Belshazzar said, who cares? I'm having a party. We're having a good time. I want to get it, make it better. Let's go grab those utensils that have been sitting away in the closet. They're gold and they're silver and they're beautiful. And let's just use them. And the Bible says, it says here that his father Nebuchadnezzar. Now, if I should have probably given it to you so you see it. But when you look at history in Bible like this, you will find that the main leader in scriptures, they always refer to him as his father. In other words, who was the great king of Israel? David. The Bible actually refers to Josiah. It says his father David. Now, we know that Josiah was not the son of David. There was a whole lot of kings in between David and Josiah. But David was the great one that everybody looked to. It is the same thing that happens here in chapter 5 when referring to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the great king Nebuchadnezzar, you know, the head of gold. And so when it's Belshazzar referring to him as his father, Nebuchadnezzar, it is not saying he's his literal father, but he is the line in the head of the line of the chain. Watch. When you go to Babylonian history, you see this come to pass. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar from 634 to 562. Daniel was there with Nebuchadnezzar. Then you find another king. There is another king after Nebuchadnezzar. Has anyone ever heard of Evil-Merodach? You ever heard of him? Evil-Merodach. He rules from 562 BC to 561 BC. He only rules for 1 year. Okay? He is found, actually, you find Evil-Merodach found at the conclusion of the book of Jeremiah. Watch 2 Kings 25:27. And it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, that Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon. Catch that? In the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, out of prison. He spake kindly to him, set him on his throne above the throne of the kings that were in him in Babylon, and changed his prison garments, and he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. Evil-Merodach was the next king after Nebuchadnezzar, not Belshazzar. Watch. His reign only lasts for 1 year. And you do not see anywhere that Daniel ever had any dealings with Evil-Merodach. You see no dealings. But after a year, he is murdered by his brother-in-law, Nergal-Sharezer. Okay? He only reigns for 4 years, from 560 to 557 BC. Now, he is actually mentioned in the Bible as well. If you know the story of Jeremiah at all, you know that while Jerusalem is under siege, Jeremiah is put in prison. But it is Nebuchadnezzar who sent one, Nergal-Sharezer, to set him free. In Jeremiah 39, verse 11, and Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge unto Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, king of the guard, saying, take him and look to him and do him no harm, but unto him even do. And so watch. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent Nebushaban, Rabsaris, watch, and Nergal-Sharezer, I won't pronounce all those words, and all the king of Babylon's princes. Notice who was sent. It's this guy. He becomes the next king of Babylon. Now, at this point in scripture, he was a high prince. He was not the king. But he murders his brother, and he becomes the next king. While he was king for 4 years, we see absolutely no interaction, once again, between Daniel and this Nergal-Sharezer, all right? When Nergal-Sharezer dies, his son, I'm going to get somewhere, his son, Labishai-Marduk, succeeds him, but is murdered after 9 months by Nabonidus in 556 B.C. But there is no record of him in the Bible. There's no record of him. Now watch. Nabonidus rules for 3 years, and once again, there's no interaction with Daniel. It appears that Daniel is a forgotten man. When you look at it, from chapter 4, verse 37, to chapter 5, verse 1, there is a space of time that Daniel is a forgotten man. He is not the man. You know, we think of Daniel as this head of princes, right? We think of Daniel as this great man who was speaking before kings. But there was a list now. I don't know, was that 4 kings or 5 kings that was there that built that Daniel was not even involved in their lives. In other words, Daniel was kind of just pushed aside. Catch this. Nabonidus rules for 3 years. But you ready? But in the year 553 BC, Nabonidus puts his son in charge of the kingdom. And his name is Belshazzar. Nabonidus' son is Belshazzar. It is this Belshazzar that we read through the wild party and began to drink from the cups that Nebuchadnezzar would never touch. Now, I want you to understand, I read to you this wording. It says, my father, or his father, Nebuchadnezzar. It was not referring to a literal father, but in a line of transition. But what we have was Daniel was a forgotten man. And it's here that the hand of the Lord writes on the wall. Remember the handwriting on the wall? Meeny, meeny, tickle your farson. And what happens? In Daniel 5, verse 11. Watch. There is a man in thy kingdom. Notice these words. This is so fascinating when you grab this. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. Whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Watch, verse 12. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams, showing of hard sentences, and dissolving of doubts were in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. You've got to catch this. Do you see what happens in chapter 11 and verse 12, or chapter verses 11 and 12? You see what happens? They had to remind or tell Belshazzar who Daniel was. If Daniel was really this head of princes, this chief of captains, this head of all that, why did they have to tell him? Oh, by the way, there's a man in your kingdom. Why did they have to tell him, there's a man in your kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy gods is? Oh, by the way, this man was made the master of the magicians. He was made the master of the astrologers and Chaldeans. And by the way, he had an excellent spirit in him, and he had knowledge and understanding. They had to tell Belshazzar this. Why? Because Daniel had been pushed aside and set aside and had become a forgotten man. They had to remind him because Daniel had lost his position and was no longer highly regarded as he was under Nebuchadnezzar. if I did my math right, there was a period of 23 years between Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. Think about that. Daniel is put on the shelf. Nobody knows who he is. Nobody recognizes anything about him. He's not talking to kings. He's not with leaders. He's just off by himself. And the next king in line says, who is this guy? And they have to remind him and they have to tell him exactly who he was. But can I tell you, while he may have been a forgotten man by men, there was a God in heaven who Daniel said, you're never going to forget who I am. You're never going to lose sight who I am. I'm going to make sure every single day I bow my knee in prayer. Every single day I'm going to call out to you. Every single day I'm going to keep in right relationship with you. Why? Because I never know the next time when I will be needed to be used by God. And I want to be ready when the time comes. And so here we see a man forgotten for 23 years steps into the limelight and is able to once again interpret dreams. And so we find in 539 BC, while Belshazzar throws a defiant party, Darius diverts the Euphrates River, lowers the moat around Babylon, and quietly enters into the city. And the invincible city of Babylon was taken without a battle. You want to know the cool part of this whole thing? This is what I think is so cool. Daniel is restored back to prominence at the exact right time. Notice this. He was in prominence under Nebuchadnezzar. He's forgotten from Nebuchadnezzar to Belshazzar. Right when God is ready to punish Belshazzar, he says, I've got to raise up Daniel. Why? Because there's coming a king, Darius, and I've got to make sure I have Daniel in the right position. So when the kingdom transfers over, Daniel will go right along. You don't see a fight. You don't see nothing. Literally, all you see to happen is Daniel just moves over. And the next time you see Daniel, Daniel's the head of the princes of the Medes. Daniel is restored back to prominence at the right time. Why? Watch. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding and interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. They tried with everything they could to change his name, to change his identity, to tell him, you are not who you're claiming to be. You are not the man that you're trying to be. I'm going to change your name. I'm going to make you different. And Daniel held his ground and said, oh, no, you ain't. You can call me Belteshazzar all you want, but I want this world to know nobody is my judge but God Almighty. God will let me know when my time is. God will let me know when the right time is. God has my life in his control. No one else has the right to take it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And even the king of Babylon had to admit, his name is not Belteshazzar. Even the king of Babylon said, now let Daniel be called. The king of Babylon could no longer call him by his Babylonian name. The king of Babylon had to say, call that Hebrew, call that man who's got a God on his side that we can't fight against, who's got a God on his side who really does hold everything in his hands. I can't say that Bel is his protector. I have to say that God is his judge.
I want you to see this. This is so cool. It even gets better. At least to me it does. If I bored you all, I'm sorry. But I think this is so cool. Look, I'll put it this way. This is how much I thought this was cool. I laid in bed with my wife and we sat there and I explained this whole thing to her. I laid there and talked. I was like, let me show you this. I'm pulling my computer. I'm just showing her. I was so excited about it. Had it is it what? No, she didn't. Why'd you bring that point up? No, just kidding.
You're funny, Brother Ricks.
I love Brother Ricks. He comes up with some. I don't know if anyone heard what he said. Did she have to point out, did my wife have to point out to me there was a woman who had to remind Belshazzar who this was? He says, isn't that typical the way it always is?
Or one of the in the line.
Right, right. Watch this. Once again, this is cool. Darius, I want you to see this. Well, let's go to Daniel 10, verse 1. We're just going to see this one more time. Remember how I'm talking about this Belteshazzar Daniel thing. Watch in Daniel 10, verse 1. King Cyrus. In the third year, Cyrus, king of Persian, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. Once again, we see that another king tried to call him Belteshazzar. But watch this. I want you to see what King Darius had to say. This is so cool, at least it was to me. After God delivered Daniel from the lion's den, you know all that story, right? Everyone knows the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Watch what is wrote here. This is Daniel 6, verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of, not Belteshazzar, Darius himself had to write a decree. And in his decree, he says, I make this decree that everybody tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Boy, this guy sounds like, he does. And he's what? He's a king of a pagan nation. But he had such an influence from this man whom the world tried to shape and tried to call by a different name. But he was able to stand against it. And so he stood there until Belshazzar had to say he was Daniel. Until Darius now has to say he is not Belteshazzar. He is Daniel, and his God is the living God. His God is steadfast forever. His kingdom shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall never end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in the heaven, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. They tried. They gave it their best shot. But I want you to notice who was standing.
a man who said, I'm going to be righteous even in a wicked generation. Even when nobody is looking, even when nobody's around, when it's just me and God, I'm going to remain righteous. Even when nobody notices me, when they don't even see anything I'm doing, they might not even recognize what I'm doing or where I'm at, but I know there's a God in heaven who sees everything, who knows everything. Let men forget me, but I'm going to make sure of one thing. God will never forget me. I want you to see what takes place, because I'm getting ready to wrap up. I want you to see what takes place here. He says, they can try to change my name. But he closes up the last chapter by saying this in Daniel 12, verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two. The one on the one, this side of the bank, and the other on the other side of the bank of the river. Daniel says, I looked and I began to see something. And the angel of the Lord said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time. See, the book of Daniel is, it's more than just a story of prophetic implications. The story of Daniel, the real story of Daniel, is about a man who stood solid, who stood steadfast, who would not bend, who would not go with the world around him, but would stay true to his God no matter what. And in the end, the Bible closes, the Daniel closes, the book of Daniel closes with him saying, go thy way, Daniel. What is the point I tried to make? I think I gave it away already. Here it is. You can change my name to Bel is my protector, but I will have the last word. You can take everything from me. You can do whatever you want to do, but I will have the last word. Bel is not going to have the final say in my life. God is my judge. It won't be a false god. It won't be an idol. It won't be the Babylonian culture that will define me. It won't be the pagan kings that will define me. It won't be the Babylonian language that will define me. It will not be any of that. It will be God that will define my life. When we allow Jesus to be the author and the finisher of our faith, doesn't matter what people say, it doesn't matter what people do. There's one who defines my life. His name is Jesus. Let's all stand. I don't know how to necessarily close something like this. Maybe I'm just gonna close in prayer tonight. I want you to take this, what I've talked about here tonight, and I want you to kind of just chew on a little while. If you want copies of my notes, I'd be glad to give them to you, let you see them, let you look at it. Let you have them, for that matter. But what I want to pray as we close, what I want to pray for each one of us as we close, that we won't allow this world that we live in, it is trying to define who we are. It tries to define what we're going to look like, what we're going to act like, what we're going to say, what we're going to do. It tries to define what prosperity is. It tries to define, you know, what we're supposed to have, what we're not supposed to have. It tries to define all of those things about us. That's our society. It's the world we live in. It's not a government. It's just our society. It's what we have. But I believe what God wants us to be is a people that says, I don't care what the world around me is trying to define me as. The Word of God and God Himself will be my define, will be the definition for my life. I'm going to pray that God would be the author and the finisher of our faith. Not just the one who starts the writing and starts putting it down for us and starts, you know, that. I don't want to get myself involved and try to take over partway through and say, you know, God's done this much for me here, and I'll go ahead and take it from here, God. I'll go ahead and do this, and I'll go ahead and do that. Daniel did not allow that to happen. I want you to think about that. Daniel did not allow that to happen. He was placed in a time of prosperity. He was placed in a high position, and then it was removed from him. But I'm here to tell you, Daniel never lost his integrity. Daniel never lost who he was. He remained faithful and true to God all the way. And I'm going to pray that God is our author and our finisher. Jesus, God, you know what's best for us. God, you have this church in your hands. God, you have, I'm in your hands. And Lord, every single person that is here, Lord, they are in your hands. My family is in your hands, Lord. And you know what's best for all of us. You know what we need and what we don't need. And God, I pray for strength for every single person that's here. God, I pray, Lord, that you strengthen them so that they are able, Lord, to not allow the world to define them, not allow the world to show them or tell them what they're to be or what they're not to be. But God, I pray, Lord, that they would allow you and your word to be the thing that defines their life. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would work inside each of every one of us. Lord, that you would continue to shape us and mold us and make us. And Lord, if there's things in us that you don't like, God, I pray, Lord, that you pull it from us. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you place those things inside of us that you want, that you're desiring for us. And God, I ask, Lord, for your wisdom. I ask for your guidance. I ask, Lord, for your power, your authority to walk with us and to help us. And Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that we allow your spirit to be our guide. Touch us, Lord. Help us in Jesus' name. Bless each one, Lord. Go with them and be with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.